This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu. And let's talk about, you know, there's so many things that happened over the week that I actually missed out on Google's I.O., the developer conference. And the Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, he actually demonstrated something that gives me the shivers. I never thought I would see something like this today in 2018, especially during that point of time. So it's Google's virtual assistant. It can now go beyond just answering you what's the weather like and making, you know, simple calendar bookings. It can now actually make phone calls on your behalf to schedule appointments, to make reservations in restaurants, to get on holiday, tours and stuff like that. That's just... it was really creepy. I will play a clip just a moment, but my God, this is creepy.
I don't find it creepy at
really?
All. I really don't understand what people are complaining about here. One of the things that people complain about with these machines is that they sound weird and too robotic. And they sound almost human, but not quite. And that really sends chills down people's spine because, you know, there's something that activates your brain and says, no, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Now that it's real, yeah, it's still freaking people out. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't be freaked out because it's not real and then freaked out that it is real.
I get it that we don't like whenever we hear some of this, it's advancements in AI, and then when we play a clip of it and go like, yeah, it sounds very robotic because, you know, I could tell it's robotic. But then now Google has finally managed to get one that sounds really much like a human. You go like, oh, wow, that's not what I want because it's way too much like a human. Yeah. It's like, let's take a step back now.
No, it's like we want all the robots to be like Bender in Futurama. I don't know.
Hey, I wouldn't mind that though. I really wouldn't mind that. Anyways, the thing is though, this robot assistant uses a very natural speech pattern. It includes hesitations. I guess that's why, you know, and also affirmations. It uses the words and also mm-hmm. And like, that's just extremely difficult for us to distinguish a real human and a robocall, for example.
But that's the whole point.
Yeah,
it's supposed
to
be a natural language engine. Like I said, we can't have it both ways. We can't have machines that don't sound like us and sound like us. We have to make a choice.
Yeah.
So it seems that at the moment, people have finally decided that they want the machines to not sound like us after forcing companies like Google to spend hundreds of millions of dollars making machines that sound like us.
Anyways, let's play a clip of that Sundar Pichai demonstrated the capabilities of Google's Duplex. Have a listen to this.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
See, I didn't tell anyone which is the robo assistant. Is it the one making the call or the one receiving the call? And if, you know, it's honestly, it's really hard to distinguish which is actually the assistant. Of course, you could tell.
I thought it was the people laughing.
They sounded too robotic.
Yeah.
But it now begs the question because a lot of people are now saying like, hang on a minute, it's too much like a human being. Shouldn't we know if a robocall is making this call, that we should be able to identify this is a robot and this is a human? During the demonstration, the virtual assistant did not identify itself as we played the clip. Instead, it appeared to deceive humans, especially the one at the end of the line. However, in a blog post, Google did admit that they might change that.
I don't know. I mean, seriously, does it matter? If someone's calling up to make an appointment, does it really matter if they identify themselves as a robot or not, as long as the appointment's made? It really doesn't make any difference
at all. For making an appointment in a hair salon, it doesn't quite matter, but it matters for, you know, other things that could impact national security, for example, or frauds, for example, right?
What, a robot Donald Trump? I don't think that's such a bad idea.
But also then, like the Turing test, what will happen to that? Because I'm very sure Google would have probably passed the Turing test now.
I mean, I think it's in the one of the articles you sent me, but because it can only deal with certain parameters, it will only be able to deal with those kind of scenarios. So it probably wouldn't pass a Turing test.
Mm.
Because as soon as you asked it any questions that go outside the realms of booking a hair appointment, it doesn't really know what to say.
Mm.
But the thing that occurs to me that I think would probably be the most ridiculous thing is that somebody might have a robot to take those bookings and somebody else might have a robot to make those bookings. So you have two machines that are pretending to be humans talking to each other when it would actually be far quicker for them to converse via code, and they're probably sitting in the same cloud next to each other in the first place.
Probably.
So,
hey, you might be onto something here. Yeah, they could have just actually, you know, create two robots that could speak in their own language or some bytes and some numbers, right?
Exactly. You just send code from one bit to another. Instead, you've got two things on the same server making a physical phone call to each other and pretending to be people.
No, but I guess Google is also looking at this could help businesses who don't have an online booking solution that are still stuck to the traditional way of picking up the phone call, going through the book, and then, you know, sort of filling them up by manually. Right.
But also this goes back to something that we were talking about in Mattsplain just now as well. When machines start to replace human beings, we'll see this kind of natural language engine.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean about things like smart artificial intelligence, because if you're talking to something that sounds like a human being that's doing, say, a loan application for you, and you say, oh, I've got some additional information, if it hasn't been trained to know what to do with that additional information, then you suddenly realize that you're just talking to a machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of that natural language is just, you know, window dressing.
Mm. They did show more examples on stage. They even showed one where the call didn't quite go as expected. Also, there was a bit of a language barrier issue, accent-wise at least. The male-sounding virtual assistant, it tries to make a reservation for a table at a restaurant, but it was then told that he doesn't need a booking if there's only four people at his party. And the robot apparently seems to be okay in navigating that very complicated conversation with ease. But again, this is very early stage at this point in time. They said it will be available to the public later this year. But the other thing that was, I feel that maybe we should also be looking at is how, because a company like Google has invested millions and millions of US dollars into building this, it actually looks at your Google Calendar. So you're now kind of like stuck in one ecosystem. That for me probably may not be an ideal way of looking at the future, because then you're stuck to one company. I'm just trying to be staying away from Skynet, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that element to it, but I think there's always going to be this idea of competition. We know that every manufacturer is trying to come up with these systems. I think we talked about LG trying to come up with a similar kind of system, and that to me being a little bit strange because they're not experts in this field. So I would like to see open standards and a lot more integration. Whether we're going to see that, I really don't know, because even something like Android, which we kind of call open source,
isn't really open source in
that sense. But I think, yeah, open standards would be a way of ensuring that this rolls out nicely in the future.
All right. Anyways, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we will talk about jetpacks. And there's another sort of a confusion going around the internet. It's not the dress, not the blue and black dress, the gold and white dress. It's something completely different. I'm having a confusion within my own mind.
Yeah, Jeff's looking for Laurel.
We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. I came across an article from The Guardian recently. It's titled, Jetpacks, Why Aren't We All Flying to Work? And it made some good points in terms of where we've progressed in the sort of the jetpack industry. I think 1984 in the Olympics Games in Los Angeles was when, like, you know, the sort of the first step to everyone looking at jetpacks and going, wow, you know, like that seems impressive, right? It was like a moment of triumph in like a new age. But fast forward to 2018, we are not flying to work. We're still stuck in traffic jams. I guess the closest thing we have to a jetpack is stuff that we see in lakes, this water-propelled hydrolift or jet-lev devices. I think in Putrajaya and also in Titi Wangsa, they've got one, right? Yeah, so like these have become like a commonplace exotic seaside pursuit. It's like a day out. It's like a, you know, let's go and try out this water jetpack kind of thing.
Water jetpack, you just kind of hover above the water, and it has the advantage of it being nice, wet water rather than big, hot fire.
Because that is one of the arguments that we have, that jetpacks aren't really safe. A lot of these jetpacks that have come to somewhat reality have kind of ended up really badly. Like, you know, some people have broken their kneecaps.
Yeah, a lot of people get injured. So. I think, what was it? One of the pioneers of fell out of the sky at a height of around 6.5 meters and broke both his kneecaps.
Yeah, but so this idea that we should just, you know, put in the top drawer, never look at it again. No one's ever going to be flying jetpacks. Or instead, put it onto bees and insects then.
Well, possible. But I mean, my response is, how many of you have used a gas-powered cooking hob and burnt yourself?
And everyone's raising their hands.
Exactly. And if you can't trust yourself around a gas-burning hob, how are you going to put basically a bomb on your back that fires fire in order to make you fly? I think they're a terrible idea.
Too close to your body as well. So, there is a short audio clip of a computer-generated voice that has become the most diverse subject on the internet since the gold-blue dress controversy of 2015. Gosh. That was 2015.
I know. Feels such a long time.
Feels like, wow. Anyways, have a listen to this and let us know via Twitter what you're actually listening.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
So I'm listening Laurel. I'll play it again.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
Is it Yenny or Laurel?
That's really weird. I heard Laurel, but when I tested it at home yesterday, I heard not Yanny or Laurel, but Yally. Yally. Yally all the way through. But yeah, I heard Laurel.
Laurel.
So I think it does change according to what kind of sound system and speakers you're hearing it
And
on.
I think also the bit rate or some sort, right? Because
so
when I first heard this, I was actually hearing Yanny. And I'll be like, it's clearly Yanny. Like, you know, it's a no-brainer. Why are people debating about this? Until I actually recorded it off and, you know, wanted to play the clip for our show today. And then I'm hearing, hang on a minute, why am I listening to Laura? Yeah, did I download the wrong clip here?
it's weird. I mean, both words are contained within the audio spectrum. It's just a question of which frequencies your hearing is attuned to and what you hear. So you can hear different versions of it at different frequency rates as well. Mm. So they've upped it. They've increased it by a certain amount of megahertz and decreased it by a certain amount of megahertz. And that can actually change what you hear as well. So you can go from hearing Yanny to Laurel. But like I said, most of the time when I did it at home, I just heard Yally, something in between. Because, you know, my brain doesn't work.
Yeah, we kind of shut our brains off for this an hour of the show. Also, it's very similar to the whole internet debate in 2015 about the gold and blue dress controversy, which in the near future, it could actually be both. It could be a gold and blue and it could be a black and blue dress because, at least for now, in the current new age of fabric or smart clothing, there is this thing called the this color-changing fabric developed by a team from the College of Optics and Photonics at the University of Central Florida. This chameleon-like cloth is embedded with micro wires that can shift the color of the individual threads based on the amounts of electrical current running through them. So so it's like a self-striping smart cloth. Of course, currently it's just very limited, but it could change colors.
Well, in the future, it could be used for all kinds of different patterns and colors and textures as well. I mean, it's a really, really cool idea. I mean, you know, when we look at our wardrobe, we have things of different colors.
Yeah,
you could just have
one.
Like one or two shirts and just rotate those. And you can choose whatever color or pattern you want on that particular day, which is feeding into this idea of eco-consciousness that has come into the fashion movement. This idea of minimalist wardrobes has become sort of very popular recently, and this could help to kind of propel that movement.
Because imagine in your, we talked about tiny homes at the earlier part of the show in Matt's plane, and imagine a tiny home with a large wardrobe. It doesn't quite work.
No. I mean, a lot of people are moving to these capsule wardrobes, but the I think, as you said, there's still a lot more development that needs to be done. At the moment, the fibers are quite rough and raw, so they're not really suited to kind of comfortable garments. So at the moment, you're seeing them being used in backpacks,
and
I imagine
all,
we'll see them in outer garments that have layers, so it's not up against your skin. It's a really cool idea.
And apparently, all of this process is controlled just via a smartphone app. So yeah, definitely, that's the future, where you know you have this one fabric that you wear on, and depending on you know on the smartphone app, and designers can also upload stuff and designs, and you could just change throughout the day. You could have different wardrobes throughout the day, just with one kind of clothing.
One thing that I've always wondered as well, because I'm kind of obsessed with the idea of cooling fabrics and cooling technologies, but I've wondered why people can't use electric currents through clothes to actually create these kind of cooling systems as well. So if there's anyone listening who has the ability to do that, come on, make us nice stripy clothes with lots of adjustable colors and turn it into an air conditioning system as well.
Would you be a guinea pig for one of those tests for electrical clothing?
Yeah, sure. I fear no electricity.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take it for a swim.
All right. Okay. What do we have for Geek Tunes, Matt?
Well, we have a guy who contacted me on Instagram, strangely enough. So I put up a post for one of the other shows I do, the Muddy Confluence. And he messaged me, and he's a hip-hop and kind of soul artist from the UK. He's getting a lot of really good coverage. He's been featured on a lot of the radio stations there. This is a guy called Indipal Sandhu with...
I assure you, he's not related, and I have not know who
he's not
is
related
yet.
To Jeff. Indipal Sandhu with Compromise.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.